Good afternoon, everybody. We will start our March 9th, 2022 LAFCO meeting. And if we could begin with a roll call.
Commissioner Magsig.
Here.
Commissioner Parra.
Here.
Commissioner Santoyo.
Here.
Commissioner Yep.
Here.
Chair Brandao.
Here. And now we're going to have the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'd love Commissioner Santoyo if he would lead us in the pledge.
All righty.
Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Today, as we normally do, we'll take comments from the public. That way people don't have to wait around. If you'd like to address the commission on a subject that's not listed on today's agenda, now would be a good time to do so, and you could just step right up and address us if you have any thoughts. And I don't see anybody rising for that opportunity. So I'll come back up here to the board and ask my colleagues up here if we have any conflicts of interest on any of today's items.
I had one issue, and the city attorney told me it wasn't an issue. We were involved in a eviction at the beginning of last year, and Dave Fike represented us. We have something in front of us from Fike and Brainy and law firm, but city, the
not
council.
City attorney.
not city attorney, but
LAFCO
lawyer. LAFCO attorney has said that that's not a conflict.
Yeah,
so I wanted to disclose,
all right.
Disclose
good,
that.
Good to know.
Mr. Chair, if I could bring this up. Mm-hmm. For item number four, it's the Sanger annexation. There are a couple of LLCs involved and
item number six.
Yes. Item number four, which is conflict of interest.
Oh.
For item number six. Thank you
yeah.
for that clarification. We've got some information to convey to the commission related to the principles in those LLCs, just to make sure that it's we're having full disclosure here, many of whom are making a dramatic entrance at this point.
Uh-huh.
So the one LLC is the Minnewawa Land Group, and the principals, excuse me here, information from, well, what do you know, information from the Secretary of State. I'm surprised it's not here at my disposal, but I do know that Mr. Peterson and I spoke before. If he wants to get up and relate to who the principals are in Minnewawa or Austin, that'd be fine. Yes, if you would, please.
Good afternoon. On. All right, how about now? All right, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Austin Yule. My address is 735 West Alluvial, Suite 103 here in Fresno. I'm here on behalf of the landowners and project proponents on Academy. And that includes, as David was kind enough to start going through, the Minnewawa Land Group, LLC, which is a California limited liability company. And the members that make up that entity include Mark Peterson, who is here in the audience, Albert Peterson, William Smitkamp, Elizabeth Kimball, and also Carol Copeland. And anything else, David, you needed at the
what
time?
You needed, David?
I think that's fine
okay.
for Minnewawa LLC. Thank
yes,
you
perfect.
Very much.
Thanks, Austin.
Dave, I have the information you sent me regarding G4 properties, if you can't find it.
Yes, if you would, please.
Okay. So G4 properties is listed as a California limited partnership. The agent of service of process is Dennis Parnagian. And then also the partners are Randy Parnagian and Kenneth Parnagian. And Parnagian in addition to Dennis Parnagian.
So those are the principals that in the LLCs. In addition, the list that's been provided to the commission and the staff report for the property owners in that area, that still stands. So we want to make sure of full disclosure in terms of the potential for conflicts of interest, and this concludes staff's presentation. Thank you.
The potential for conflicts is receiving $250 within a one-year period?
It's actually listed pretty succinctly in the back of your agenda, but it's more than $250 in the last 12 months and receiving any contribution of $250 or more in the next 3 months too would be prohibited.
Okay.
After the application.
So I've received any money since 2014, and I ran for mayor, and I didn't receive any money, and I don't run for mayor for another year, so I think
you
I'm
have
clean.
No conflict no under conflict. This provision.
Okay. Just putting it out there.
I may have a conflict. So Bill Smitkamp has been a contributor to my campaign in the past. It may have been within that one-year window, and so for that reason, I'm going to need to recuse myself from that particular item then, just based upon that information.
Ken, is the recusals based upon the people that were listed to us from the Minnewawa Land Group, LLC, or the entire list, including the G4 group that you mentioned?
It's the entire list. So it would be anyone who's a project, it could be any project applicant, it could be an advocate for the project, it could also be an impacted party, like a landowner, whether or not the landowner is supportive or opposed to the application. So it would be anybody who's listed as a we call it a real party in interest in the staff report.
So, like my colleague Nathan Magzig, if I had a donation from somebody in that group from the G4 list that you mentioned or the Minnewawa Land Group, then I would need to declare that and recuse myself.
Or anybody else who's listed in the exhibit for the staff report.
Okay. Within the last year.
Within the last 12 months.
Yeah. And I have received donations inside of the last year from people on this list.
Over 250?
Yes.
Okay.
Then you would have to recuse yourself.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to recuse myself.
So, and again, as you know, in order to recuse yourself, you would announce, you disclose and recuse, and then when we get to item number 6, you would leave the room, and then Vice Chair Santoyo would take the reins for that specific item.
Okay, well, I prepped him by having him do the flag salute. So, all right, anybody else? All right, then we will move on to the consent agenda. Item number 5 is the only consent agenda item today.
Make a motion to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
Second.
I have a second. Any members of the public want to address the consent agenda item number 5 today? Nobody in the public wants to speak about it? Any other conversation up here? Then I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Now we are on to the item that we have been talking about, item number 6, consider approval, City of Sanger North Academy Corridor Annexation, a proposed reorganization consisting of the annexation of approximately 283.3 acres to the City of Sanger and detached from Fresno County Fire Protection District, the Kings River Conservation District, and the Fresno Irrigation District for territory located along Academy.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Oh. Good afternoon.
Well, we have to declare our. So I'll just state that for this particular item, item number 6, I have not tried to influence staff, but I did have conversations trying to figure out who the property owners were, and so I appreciate the information that was presented. I do believe that I have a conflict. I'm pretty certain that one of the property owners, William Smitkamp, has contributed to my campaign in the last year. And another individual on the list may be contributing here very shortly that is a supporter, and that's the Parnagian family. So with that being said, I'm now going to leave the room.
Yeah, Ken, do I need to mention who has contributed me or just the fact that members have?
It's better form, I think, to actually specify to the best of your knowledge who's contributed before you recuse.
You know, on that list, the only one that I know for certain, and it could be multiple, but for sure, the Parnagian family has contributed to.
That's more than sufficient.
Okay. All right. Mario, it's all yours.
All right. Thanks, Steve. All right. With that, I guess I will go ahead and ask staff to do the report.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Mr. Commissioner. So, yes, staff is recommending the approval of a proposed reorganization of the City of Sanger, consisting of the annexation of 283 acres to the City of Sanger and detached from Fresno County Fire Protection District, Kings River Conservation, and Fresno Irrigation District for territory located along Academy Avenue, north of East California Street, extending to State Route 180. Staff has received written opposition and letters of opposition, which are pink sheeted on the dais for you. Staff still recommends approval by taking two separate actions, the first being the CEQA component and action two being items B through D. This concludes staff's presentation, and we are available for any questions you may have.
So is there any questions by the commissioners to staff?
Could I add something very quickly? Mm-hmm. On the dais, we have received two correspondence within the posting of the agenda, I believe in the last few hours. I just wanted to have both of those correspondence included in the record for this hearing. The first one is from the Minnewawa Land Group, LLC, represented by Austin Yule and Brady McGinnis. And the correspondence from Brady McGinnis was expressing some concerns, which I know that that party is in the audience, but the request that they're asking is that LAFCO find that the annexation, that if LAFCO finds that the annexation is appropriate, to condition LAFCO's approval on recognition and acceptance of the by the city of certain entitlements and permits for their particular property. And I can explain my concern regarding that in a second. The second letter we received is from an attorney, Megan Baranian, for her clients Chris and Teresa Smith, that own 7.16 acres at the northeast corner of Academy and Butler. And there are numerous objections, mostly around land use issues, and I believe all of you should have a copy of this correspondence in front of you, and this is the letter right here.
I'll assume that those that have provided these documents are probably in the audience will probably take the opportunity to speak in public when we open it up.
I don't know about the second one, but I can tell you that the request from Ms. Baranian representing the Smiths was for a 90-day extension.
Okay. All right. Well, back to commissioners. You guys have some questions either for staff or you know, Ken? No questions? I have a question. Okay, I believe in your report you noted that there was some opposition associated to this. Can you provide some clarity as to what, in general, that opposition was based on?
Yes, so we sent out a notice to all landowners and affected territory within 300 feet. From that, we received nine letters of opposition, five of which actually ended up being in the affected territory. And that is also in conjunction with the letters that we received. Mm-hmm. The letters are not the same as the protest forms we have in the back. If these letters were translated into the protest forms, mm-hmm. they would add to the other five we have.
I see. Okay. All right. With that, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and open it up to public comment. So if you go ahead and come up and give us your name, your address and your association to the issue, and then give us your comments.
Thank you, Vice Chair Santoyo, Chair and Executive Director. My name is Tim Chapa. I'm the city manager for the city of Sanger. Business address, 1700 7th Street, Sanger, California. First, we want to tell you that we are proud and excited to be bringing this annexation to the LAFCO Commission. This really has been a vision and a goal of the city for the last 40-plus years, dating back to city councils back to the 80s, with a vision of how Sanger was going to grow and determine its own land use and economic development future. We really looked at the Academy growth out to the 180. Back then, 40 years ago, it was Kings Canyon Road. It wasn't quite the 180 state route that it is now. But it's always been the vision and the goal of the cities and city council that we annex that land in for the city of Sanger's development. 3 years ago, the city council then took proactive action to move forward on the process. They committed over $400,000 in city funds for the necessary studies to move forward with the annexation. In addition to that, the city's moved aggressively on the Opportunity Zone program that developed in that area, included in that area, is an opportunity zone within that same annexation area. And in addition to that, we also looked at developing hotel studies. So the city funded its own hotel study to determine for hoteliers whether or not a hotel makes sense. So again, the city's made a lot of commitment. Once this annexation is completed, the city isn't done with its commitment. The city, in fact, has already envisioned an infrastructure financing plan. So coincidentally, we actually have water in Academy going out to the 180. It's from a development that occurred years ago to supply Cal Fire with some water. So we've got some infrastructure in there, but really the way to encourage the development once we've annexed these lands into the city is to come up with our own infrastructure financing plan. So we're doing that in one of two ways. We have a grant application out to EDA for about $9 million to put in the infrastructure. We submitted that a year ago, December, and based on COVID, there's just been some delay in the grant processes, but we expect to hear any day now on the grant approval. The other thing we're doing is something that's a little bit innovative for the Central Valley, and we're going to be establishing an assessment district. So the City Council has already authorized the initiation of an enhanced infrastructure financing district. It's akin to the old redevelopment areas. So basically, we're looking at tax increment to be able to fund bonding so that we can come up with about $22 million in funding to go ahead and do the infrastructure. So once this city council said move forward, we're moving forward aggressively, not just with the annexation, but with the infrastructure plan in place. I would like to thank the LAFCO staff, our consultants, and our own staff in putting together this request for the city. What we have before you is an annexation request that can comply and meet with all of your requirements. Today, you can make all of the appropriate findings to go ahead and approve this annexation. So our work that's been envisioned over the last 40 years, that's been a focus over the last 3 or 4 years, we are excited to be here before you today to finally see this come through. Time certainly is of the essence for us. Our city council not only has asked us to be aggressive in the annexation and the infrastructure, but also to do marketing for this area. So we've been aggressive with major developers. We've been aggressive with ICSC meetings in Las Vegas each year. And we expect to return in May to ICSC to meet with businesses who are interested in coming to Sanger with not just a story of what we're doing, but with the fact that we've completed the annexation and that we have information as to the infrastructure financing plan. So we're absolutely excited about what this is going to be able to do for city and for the area in general. Now, we acknowledge that this is an open public process, and so you have received within the hearing allowance of days the appropriate protest hearings. We have no objection to that process and the protest hearings, and if there needs to be a subsequent protest hearing, we're good with that. We don't see any further delay or unnecessary delay with our annexation request. Today, prior to this meeting, we did receive a few complaint letters. Those letters would look to ask you to defer or delay the city's request for the annexation. And while we're not here necessarily to get into the merits of that request, we do think it would create an unnecessary delay to the city of Sanger, again, based on the planning that's been made over 40 years and the work especially that's been done over the last 4 years. If there is a project that has been approved by the county in this area before it gets annexed in, that's not untypical. That probably happens with annexations here and there, that you've got a project that's moving forward, and in the interim, we've got the annexation coming in. It is the city's intent to honor that entitlement and the permits that were issued, not by us, not by the city of Sanger, but by the county when those properties are within the county. One of these letters suggests that...
Why don't we do this? Because we've got the letters in front of us, so we don't really need you to tell us what the letters say. And we've given you enough time. What I'd like to do is become a little more efficient here. And so what I want to do, before you leave, I want to give our commissioners an opportunity to ask you questions if they have any questions. If they do not, then we may call you back after other people have spoken so we can deal with the issues. Okay?
Looks good. Okay. Right. Again, I was just here to represent the city that we're absolutely excited about being here today. Thank you.
So on just to kind of keep score, the city of Sanger has no issue with the approval of this annexation. Is that how I'm reading
this? The city of Sanger made the request for this. Yeah.
Correct. But I just want to try to keep score so I know who the players are. And so all these letters have come up saying but the city of Sanger has no opposition to the way this is presented to the agenda right now. So city of Sanger is a yes. They want to go with the annexation.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Dan, you have any questions?
No, and I do appreciate the fact that the organization is already in there that you're going to honor what they have. So, but I'll wait to hear from them too.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Chappell. Next.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Megan Baranian, and I'm an attorney, and I represent Chris and Teresa Smith in regards to their current project. My business address is 401 Clovis Avenue, Suite 202 in Clovis. And the purpose of me being here today is to represent Mr. and Mrs. Smith and provide you their statement, which I have in writing, but unless you would object, I'd like to read it very quickly into the record because I think it's very important. It's very specific, and I think it lays out what their concerns are and also opportunities to speak with the city of Sanger ultimately and see if there's some resolution other than going forward in an opposition hearing. So if that's agreeable with all of you.
It is, but before you do that, can you give us an indication of where your clients basically reside so that we can understand in relationship to where the annexation is?
Yes, and Mr. Smith, would you step forward, please, and show them where your property is here, please?
You need a pointer, laser pointer?
Yes, that's an excellent request because...
It's on.
Thank you.
So we are at the corner of Butler and Academy.
Corner of Butler and Academy. Yeah.
And it looks like that's the fire station, so that would be our property right in there.
Right. It's quite a ways south from the northern line. Right around in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so how much acreage is involved there?
It's 7.16 acres.
Okay.
And there's and I believe there's another, someone else will speak to that to the balance of that project.
So I'm going to ask you to consider this. If you could basically summarize what the letter says and hit the high points so that we understand where the emphasis is, that would be more time efficient for us.
Okay.
Okay.
And I will do my best.
Sure.
If that's all right with all of you.
Give it your best shot.
It's not a long letter, but it was very deliberate in the way it was put together because we wanted you to know what our client's position was and the concerns. So,
okay.
My client has operated Academy Feed for the past 28 years. He's been a long time, he and his family have been long time citizens and business owners at the southeast corner of Academy and East Butler. And approximately 3 years ago, my clients began development plans of 17.93 acre property immediately north of the existing feed store, and that's when they started conversations with the city of Sanger. And I personally am aware of that in the last year. Mr. Smith secured Lyons Trucking, a subsidiary of Wawona Fruit, as a potential purchaser of the northern 7.16 acres of the property. And there were conversations with city of Sanger regarding development standards and the process, acquisition of water, because there's water in the middle of the street, City Water, and unfortunately, it became entangled in the city's opposition to Lyons Truck and Office Facility. And the understanding was they wanted the city of Sanger, and I've been told that they wanted hotel development instead. The city attempted to convince Lyons to not develop the site owned by my client, and alternate locations were suggested and discussed and that kind of thing. But they were unacceptable for a variety of reasons. As you can imagine, the access to Route 180 is so important to trucking and fruit and ag-related businesses. And so this did not work for Lyons. And the city of Sanger continued to oppose this development. My client proceeded to submit to the Fresno County Director's Review and got approval number 4587 to allow Lyons to trucking an office facility, and got a conditional use permit to allow the client to relocate Academy Feed immediately northeast of its present location. So he started the process, and so did his business partners. And as we all know, COVID put a real halt on the process, on staffing, on cost of supplies, all of those things. Site plans and elevations of both uses were presented to the county staff for review, and a request was made to the city of Sanger to provide potable water for director's review and approval 4587 and conditional use permit 3654. This would have been doable because the main line runs through the middle of Academy, and I think that was acknowledged by the city manager as well. It was put in some time ago. But there's a letter attached to this one dated September 24th. The city declined to provide water as they commented, among other issues, water for this location is not available at this time, and which is unclear and was unclear. What does that mean? And to this date, it's my belief, based on what my clients have told me and my own review of the documentation, that the city of Sanger does not have the infrastructure in place other than a water line going down the middle of the street to provide owners of those properties water and various other public services. So subsequently, my client pursued recordation of a parcel map in the county legally dividing the 17.93-acre parcel and obtained a tentative approval of the site plan review number 8234 for the Lyons Trucking, which was, we were thrilled, and the clients were thrilled about this. Due to the variety of factors principally associated with COVID, county staffing, site plan review number 8234 for Lyons, while submitted to the County of Fresno, has not been formally approved. So the question of entitlements is certainly important, but we don't have an approval yet. And also, site plan review number 8256 has been submitted to the county to allow my client's relocated Academy Feed store, which is right across the street on Academy and has been there for 28 years, to move and be developed into a new building across the street, and that is still pending. So what you ask me, what's important to my client? Fairness. My client's focus has been to assist in the recordation of the parcel map, meet the county's requirements, assist Lyons Trucking to move forward, and for various reasons stated and otherwise, my client has not pursued obtaining a site plan review for the 7.16-acre parcel that he intends to develop as a feed store. It's been a financial crunch for him, not to mention the process itself and lack of communication with City of Sanger. My client tells me, unfortunately, Sanger staff has been unnecessarily uncooperative, and his planning consultant attended an April 21, 2001 Zoom workshop and expressed concerns about the conflict with projects approved or being processed with Fresno County and how City of Sanger could address those projects and maybe work with the applicants. The consultant specifically requested an opportunity to discuss if there was any mitigation You know, what's fair to the city? My client is a good citizen. He wants to make it work. What was fair to the city and the Smith property? But unfortunately, the city of Sanger never tried to discuss the issues raised by my client. For these reasons, my client respectfully requests that the 7.16-acre parcel owned by he and his wife be allowed to submit and process building permits with Fresno County for his feed store, and that such be under the jurisdiction of Fresno County, no matter what happens here in LAFCO. This proposal allows City of Sanger to annex the Academy corridor in accordance with his vision, and Mr. Smith to complete the project. The development process he began 3 years ago on this property, which is documented.
I hate to cut you off, but
she got one paragraph left.
One paragraph?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, just.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I admire you sitting there and listening to these difficult issues. Review of the environmental impact report prepared for the proposed corridor indicates approximately $35 million in infrastructure will be necessary to make this typical sewer, water, storm drain, et cetera. And take a look at the pictures that were attached to our letter to see what this looks like. It's common knowledge, and certainly disputable, that the City of Sanger currently does not have funds available to make these planned improvements. And I admire the city for moving ahead with grants and all the opportunities to make this happen, but the money, we've been told the money is not there yet. Therefore, we respectfully request the proposed annexation to be postponed, please, for 90 days to allow one last opportunity to resolve this issue. And I use the word good faith. Why? Because my client started this 3 years ago in good faith, wanting to do the right thing, work with the city, work with the county, create jobs for the citizens. And so he asked for a 90-day extension. More important, this delay will provide City of Sanger the opportunity, in our view, to assess water and other needs.
Okay. I appreciate the summary. I think that's going to raise some questions for us, to both the staff and to our attorney.
I see.
You know, so for right now, what I'd like to do is keep moving forward with additional speakers.
Okay.
Inevitably, we'll be coming back to some of this.
And I might just add this, that my client, Mr. Smith, is available to answer any questions that you might have, and he really is very fluent on these issues. So with all due respect, I thank you for your time.
Thank you. And so, Ken, you know, I will be asking you some questions regarding conditioning, you know, authority or non-authority and stuff like that. So just to be a heads up on that, okay?
I'm prepared.
All right. Next speaker.
So I can keep score.
Yeah.
So the City of Sanger says yes.
Yes.
Ms. Branian says let's take a 90-day hold.
Yes.
Okay. But she agrees with the City of Sanger or not agree with the City of Sanger because – a lot of the infrastructure isn't in place.
Would you like to ask her that question?
Yeah, that's
that would be good.
Because I'm real simplistic. I need to see on the scoreboard so I know which one.
Well, lawyers can be brief, and the answer to that is my client is opposed to annexation today because he cannot get water from the City of Sanger, and there's been no communications to speak of, and he's without options. So he opposes it because of those most important reasons.
Okay. So we have a second category now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dan, any questions?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right. Next speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Again, my name is Austin Yule. I'm here on behalf of Minnewawa Land Group. Address is 735 West Alluvial, Suite 103. I'll just expand a little bit upon some of the comments that you had heard. The Lyons Transportation Facility is a little bit farther along in its entitlement and processing of its site plan. But again, the site plan has not been finalized. However, as mentioned, you have, you know, a director review approval, which has been occurred, variance applications, which have been approved. You have conditional use permits, which have been approved. And then, and according to those conditions, the site plan, which is in process. So fundamentally, as mentioned, just for point of reference, this property, roughly about 12 acres, is just north of the property that was pointed out earlier. Again, the project proponents, the landowners, do not want to stand in the way of growth and development. They themselves are advocates of growth and development and the benefit of the Central Valley. However, just simply stated, they want to make sure that the annexation does not adversely affect the entitlements that they've obtained over these past 3 years. And I truly appreciate, you know, the work of county staff, the city staff, who I've been able to speak with, as well as LAFCO staff on this very subject. And so we just happen to be in somewhat of a unique, not completely unprecedented, but somewhat of a unique position for these properties and the annexation that's underway. And as was pointed out by the city of Sanger, yes, as the annexation takes place, yes, the existing use and entitlements that are in place would fall within a category of being non-conforming, but would allow to operate. However, there are scenarios, whether it's an act of God or fire, depending upon what could occur, that would not allow this business to continue, because it would not be in conformance with the new city standards that would be the land use authority and have responsibility for future development. So, again, do not want to stand in the way of growth, but want to make sure if the annexation takes place that it does not negatively affect or adversely affect the existing entitlements and the work and effort underway. So I'll kind of, you know, stop there. Again, Mark Peterson, who is in the audience as the landowner, and both of us are here to answer any questions you guys might have related to this. And again, thank you for your time.
Before you leave, I want to ask.
So on the scoreboard, so you're not opposed to the annexation. However, you want to make sure the annexation is planned properly. So, and today's, would you be opposed to a 90-day continuance to determine whether or not we can get all these things lined up? Or are you opposed to, even after 90 days, this specific annexation to take place?
No, I appreciate the questions. And I'll take them in somewhat of a different order, but I'll start with the 90 days. If that's the request of the landowners, we would be comfortable and supportive of the additional time. I recognize the city had mentioned where they are, and they're encouraged and excited about this. I also recognize that the biannual commercial conference that takes place in Las Vegas is something that they want to announce at. But I do think it's important, given the unique set of circumstances and the issues before the landowners, as well as the city, that if we can take some additional time to see if we can get things ironed out. I think that's, though I might be an attorney, I think it's always best to try to get those resolved versus having to do it in a different forum. So, and then as far as the annexation, long-term growth for the city of Sanger, absolutely. All the better for the thriving and growth of the city. And I think the landowners would be happy to be a part of that. There are some infrastructure connection concerns, and then the ability to maintain their business that's been approved, you know, into the future, and what that means by jurisdiction within the city. So does that help you on your scorecard?
Yeah, it's, okay. Yeah.
Perfect.
Dan, do you have any questions?
Well, I was just going to say, what you've written down here, all the things that you discussed, it sounded like Mr. Chapa had said they're willing to honor those, and if they did honor those, then you're good?
Yes, though there are some, and Ken can speak to this, the approvals will be in place, the entitlements are in place, but what you can do in the future based upon that existing approved operation and business are limited, because the party that's responsible, the jurisdiction, the city itself is the land use authority, your use is non-conforming. So, for instance, if you do have a fire and it's more than 25% of damage, you're prohibited from rebuilding your facility and operating in the manner you previously did.
So let's say, can we, as a body, adjust that? To make
so.
It so that if that did happen, they could still continue to rebuild? Or that's just enough? Yeah. When you say yes, it goes over. It's
I can explain, but the answer is no on that.
Okay.
There's bigger questions here that I'm reserving for after we have all the discussion.
Well, I have them here, so I'm asking these now.
No, for
and I'm happy to come back up whatever you need.
Mr. Yule, okay. What law firm are you with?
I'm with the Yule Group.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Do we have any other public speakers on the subject? All righty. If we do not, I'm going to ask Ken to address some of the legal issues associated to this, because it's not as clear as other issues are, particularly when it comes to conditioning and so forth. So can you give us some guidance in this regard, Ken?
Sure, I can try it. I mean, what you have right now is more of a land use dispute than you have a dispute that might be, you know, related to the provision of services that LAFCO, that would fall under the province of LAFCO. And Dave, you know, feel free to jump in when I'm done or or in the middle is fine. But LAFCO has a certain degree of limitation. It has a great deal of authority with respect to imposing conditions on approval for annexations, but it has some limitations. And one of the limitations is that LAFCO cannot impose a condition that would be a land use related matter. And it's crystal clear in Government Code Section 56886. Following terms and conditions none of them shall directly regulate land use, property development, or subdivision requirements. So you don't have direct land use authority as a commission. The other type of concern that you should be aware of with respect to conditions, and I think it directly relates to the letter that came from the council for the Petersons and for Minnewawa, the Lions Trucking Group, is that LAFCO doesn't have the ability to impose a condition that can't be satisfied by the time the annexation is recorded. So what happens is you approve it, and then most likely there'll be what we call a conducting authority proceeding, which is a protest, and that's a ministerial act based upon the number of registered voters or the total value of land. And then once that conducting authority proceeding is completed and any other conditions that you impose are satisfied by as determined by your executive officer, then that's it. So what you can't do is impose a condition that would effectively be satisfied after the time it's recorded, because you'd have no ability to reverse the clock under that scenario unless there was a full-on detachment application. So what I was a little bit concerned about was the condition that was requested by the Minnewawa Land Group, which said that we would request that the approval be conditioned upon the recognition and acceptance by the city of the recent county entitlements and permit of our property. A, that's a land use related matter, and B, it is most likely something that would have to be it would have to be ultimately satisfied prior to the recordation by the executive officer, because if it delays the annexation, then it would there'd be no way to enforce the condition. So those are really my concerns about it. I guess what this boils down to is, like I said, a land use dispute, and there are various ways to resolve that. The first way to resolve it is to approve the matter in its whole as presented. Another way is to continue the matter and request that the parties come up with some kind of a happy middle ground that would satisfy the landowners and the businesses that are impacted by the application. And then the third, if there are conditions that might be satisfactory to the parties that are within the province of LAFCO, then that also might be a possibility to resolve this.
Thank you, Ken. Yeah, because that's where I was having a struggle, because I was hearing lots of things that we don't have immediate authority to do. But I understand that it's important for the parties to resolve so that they have a win-win situation rather than a win-lose situation. What I'm interpreting from you here is generally we can take action. We just can't condition them to some of the things that they would like us to condition. And to me, it seems like, or at least from what I've heard it from staff, that we've gotten some protests regarding this issue. We've gotten some letters. We've heard some comments in there. And we've also heard that people would like to see a little more time. I fully appreciate the city of Sanger wanting to keep moving forward. And I think that we obviously want to help them move forward. But I think it's been generally tradition out of the commission over the years, at least I've been on the commission, is that we always try to have parties resolve issues so that they can feel that, that they don't completely lose an issue. And from my perspective, and I know that I'm going to be asking our commissioners for their take, but it would seem to me that that time would be probably helpful to see whether there is some middle grounds that can be met out there before we take an action, because we certainly can't solve the problem. And that's my perspective, but I'm going to throw it to the commissioners for what you guys feel you want to do.
Well, I wouldn't mind them having their discussion. I don't know if they're going to be able to come to terms. I'm not sure how much the city's willing to give and what's going to be, you know, acceptable to the two folks here or the other five. Just a suggestion, you know, I have Fig Garden and all that little islands. Can they do that, annex around them?
Well, you know, I would defer to the executive officer on the boundaries of excluding those parcels, but for as a matter of law, to the extent that you'd create an island, then you'd have to make certain findings, and that is certainly discouraged by the LAFCO law. I would not recommend it.
Right. So maybe can I have Mr. Chappa come back up? So I think you've heard public testimony and you've heard my thoughts. And I know you've made an excellent case in terms of Sanger's dedication and enthusiasm to move forward. But my question to you is, how would a 90-day delay, the impact to the city? What are the consequences to the city by a 90-day delay?
So on its face, a 90-day delay would be 3 months out of 40 years, and it's probably insignificant at the end of the day. That being said, I'm hired by the city council to implement their policy. Right. They've gone through a complete general plan update, a master plan component to that general plan that's very consistent in terms of what they've envisioned and now what they can implement on this Academy Avenue route. Mm-hmm. The proponents, albeit, have contacted us before it was even in the city, when it was in the county, asking for consideration. It wasn't a city project. It was a county project. We can't make commitments. B, it was inconsistent with the general plan that we were just adopting. So I don't want to give the commission a false impression that we're going to be able to resolve, that we're going to be able to mediate, that we're going to be able to middle ground, when the direction that I've received from my council has been transparent, has been clear, and that's what we've been expressing to the proponents along the way, that they've interpreted as we're not working with them. I personally don't have a horse in this race, but I work for an agency who has said this is what you have to do. So
I'm going to go back to my original question.
So ultimately, a 90-day is immaterial.
Okay.
But at the end of the 90-day, I don't want to say that I don't think that we're going to try to work with them, but it's not realistic to say that at the end of the 90 days we're going to be in any different position than where we're at today.
I think we fully understand that. You know, the struggle that we have here is that we want to be as fair to everyone as possible. So clearly the city has done all its due diligence in terms of moving this project forward. So there's, but again, you do have constituents that are concerned, and so we have to be fair to everybody.
One comment I would say, though, is that if the commission is considering a 90-day deferral, I'll call it, we would ask that the submitted protests, no further submitted protests would be allowed within those 90 days. So, again, we've had a protest hearing that ended with today's hearing, the 21st. What this would do is it would open up that protest hearing fourfold and allow four times the amount of time for submitted protest hearings. And it would be unfortunate if we find ourselves 90 days from now in a position with the threshold protests that might trigger altogether a denial of the annexation because the commission wanted to take another 90 days. So that's that. When I said it was immaterial, for timing purposes, it is immaterial. But if it subjects us to the risk of beyond where we're at today with this hearing, that it's going to expand the number of protest hearings, then the city would have, then it's no longer immaterial to the city.
Yeah,
it's
and,
significant.
And that's an excellent point. That's what we were looking for, is how do you get impacted by the extension? So I thank you. And so, David, can you?
I'm sorry, Vice Chair. I do have Planning Director David Berletic, who is much smarter than I am and is technically competent, and he would like to take a minute to make a few comments.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. I'm David Berletic with the City of Sanger. I think I'd just like to comment a little bit. I know this is not a land use discussion, but for some clarity on where these issues are, I think that may help you in your effort to make your decision. The two projects that were mentioned today were processed as one with the City of with Fresno County. There's a project for a feed store, and there's a project for a transportation facility. And as you know, the process for the county and the city's working together, when there's a proposal within the sphere of influence, the county defers to the city and says, what do your plans say? So they provided that opportunity to us, and we were very clear with them at that time. The feed store will be a permitted use. That fits in our plan. It fits with the zoning we have planned for this location, for this annexation. The transportation facility doesn't. That conflicts with our intended zoning. So now you've got two issues before you today, one from the feed store that's asking for a 90-day extension so that they can resolve, be allowed to submit and process building permits with Fresno County. They've had that opportunity since the project was approved by Fresno County. They're not waiting on the city for anything. There was a request for water, but that request for water predated the council, the county's approval. So there's a timing issue that we've tried to be clear with both of the development proposals. We recognize and respect the county's entitlement. They have that in their hands. There's no question about that. There's nothing the city can do right now for them to move any faster. It is all with Fresno County. And when it's annexed into the city, we are obligated to provide them water services. So there should be no questions about those entitlements. If anything, the feed store is very clear. They should have no questions, so I'm not understanding the need for an extension. With regard to the transportation facility and having been in direct contact with Mr. Yule, yes, it will be considered a legally existing nonconforming use. The discussion I heard was more about a legally existing nonconforming structure. If something burns down in our ordinance, if it burns down beyond 75%, you can't replace that structure in the same place. But for a nonconforming use, unless you abandon that use, if you say, I'm not going to do that anymore for a year's time, you don't lose that right to that land use. So don't apply the same standard of 75%, because there's no way to be 75% land use. It's clear with the structure. The structure burns down. If it were built in the wrong place, we would say, okay, you need to build it to the setback.
Right.
But the use itself, the transportation facility, be it the storage of vehicles or the office use, that land use doesn't go away, according to our ordinance, unless they decide we don't want to do this here anymore.
Sure.
And they would have a year's time to sell it to somebody else if they wanted to continue the use. And I hope that might help with the questions about.
Good explanation on some of these issues. So I'm going to go back to you, David. I'm hearing, do we have another speaker?
Yes, just very briefly, okay. Mr. Chairman, Dirk Pushel, my business address is 923 Van Ness. I think all the more reason that we have this 90-day continuance to specifically identify the city's position with respect to not only Lyons, but to my clients. Participation in this annexation. We trust the city's oral representations, but we'd feel much more comfortable if it was in writing, and that's one of the outcomes that we think would occur out of this 90-day continuance.
So I was going to ask David the question, but I'm going to ask you the question. I'm hearing 90 days. What makes that the magic number? Why not 60 days or something
Can I
different?
Actually speak to that?
Yes,
I mean,
please.
No, I don't want to,
I mean, Mr. Pushel, I know probably has some thoughts about that, but as a matter of law, it's kind of important, the distinction between 60 and 90.
Right.
If there is a continuation for 90 days, then the whole matter would have to be renoticed. But if there's a continuation for 60 days, then it wouldn't. So the magic threshold for us by statute is 70 days. So I would suggest that if there is a determination by this commission to extend this time or to continue, you would do so by no more than the equivalent of two meetings.
And so that's kind of where I was going, Ken, because, you know, unless there was some real definitive reason for 90 days, we, you know, in wanting to give an extension, we want it to be as simple as possible to keep the process moving forward. So you give me the answer. Is there some other reason 90 days is important for this?
No, I think we would comply with Mr. Price's directive to LAFCO.
Okay.
You heard the city. These meetings don't take very long to hear no, but we would like to get to yes.
Yeah.
And so I think that would give us an opportunity to try to get to yes. Some of the details that I think are important for not only Alliance, but for also for my client, the feed store. And they should be in writing. They should bring back whatever there is, whatever agreement, we need to bring it back so that you see it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question for the council. So by 60 days, Mr. Chapa's concern about extra notices coming out, by doing it 60, he doesn't have to worry about that. Is that the case?
He raised a different point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. His point was, which I have, quite frankly, pretty significant concerns with, is the idea of is when this portion of the hearing ends and it's continued, you know, ostensibly for 2 months, that you stop the receipt of protests. Well, by statute, under the conducting authority proceedings provisions of the LAFCO law, you cannot do that. Actually, protests are what happen is there would be a written notice of opposition, which we've already received, and then the request for waiver for the conducting authority proceedings would be eliminated, so you'd have a conducting authority proceeding, a protest vote, and then there is a time period in which that happens after the reconsideration period, and then the protest can be received right till the end of the actual hearing that you've delegated to your executive officer. So that procedurally cannot happen.
Gary, you have a question?
Yeah, one of the issues you learn in law school is that you let the case play out itself, right? And you let everybody try to negotiate before you come in as a mediator or the negotiator. This thing isn't ripe for us right now to look at because there's too many variables in play. While we want to do the people want to do 90, 70 is the number. So if we do 60, but in 60 days we say, hey, we need to push it back another 60 days, that doesn't stop us from the notice issue. It's just basically
you'd have to renotice. From the original date of the hearing.
So,
I mean, that's
so,
not the end of the world.
Right, it's not the end of the world. It's just, we just have to notice it and we get it on properly. But if they're ready for 90 but it goes to 120, it's not a great shake. It doesn't help the city of Sanger, but obviously, as far as the protest, you can't stop people from protesting. They're going to come in and say, we didn't hear about it until now.
Right.
We need to be able to have our say. And, you know, we are elected by the people, and the people have to have their time. It's got to be fair, consistent, and predictable. Then that's why notices are put out. If they didn't know about it before now, they'll know about it now, and we have to take those as we get them.
Absolutely.
As far as this whole process, I came in here thinking I'm one of five votes. I got 20% of the decision-making today. I get out here, and I've got four letters on my desk. The law firm that I've used in the past is part of the representation here. Now I'm 33% of the vote. So, you know, at some point you come in and you're thinking, you're just, you know, one of five. Now all of a sudden you're one of three. It doesn't hurt for us to have more time. So whether it's 90 or 120 or 60, whatever we can agree on, let's let them agree and do all the heavy lifting for us, and we come in and we just make a decision on that. That's what my recommendation, just looking at this thing going on. It seems like there's a lot of things that need to play out before we even have to look at it.
No, I'm glad you made your statement, Gary, because, again, that's consistent with where my feelings have been here. And so I'm just going to cut to the chase. I think we've already done all the public comment and so forth. So we're ready for taking action. I'm going to.
Well, we're still in discussion phase.
Yeah. So okay. Are you closing the public comment portion?
I think you should let the public say
okay.
one word.
Is there any more public comment that is interested in speaking?
And then also, all letters should be addressed to you now. Now that Chairman Brando is not, so anything in the future should.
Well, or to your executive officer.
Okay, so
it depends. In 60 days, he may not be conflicted.
I'm not seeing.
He might have a conflict. Might have taken the donation.
Okay, so okay.
Excuse me, my client, Mr. Smith, would just like to very briefly.
Okay, sure. That's fine.
Hello, my name is Christopher Smith, 494 South Academy Avenue in Sanger, California. I own the feed and farm supply store there. I've been there 28 years. Over 3 years ago, I purchased that property that we're talking about, a little under 18 acres, to put a new feed store there. Part of the deal with buying that feed store and that big a property, because I don't need that big a property, was to split it up, sell part of it so I could get some funds to help build the new feed store. At that time, I talked to David Berletic at City of Sanger about water. And at that time, he said there shouldn't be an issue. We're low water use, and that that line needed flushed out occasionally anyway, so it's better to have people in that line. Then I started this project. Well, Lions Transportation came to me, was interested in purchasing part of my property. So we went to the county, started the process, put in all for all the permits. And one of the things that aggravates me the most about this whole situation is Mr. Chapa is right that they did give him opportunity to present their case about our project. They had 30 days, no response. 6 months later, after we're deep in the project, all our money invested, they send a letter protesting our project. Well, there's an issue with water. They say they don't have water. They give water to the gas station on the corner of 180 and Academy. They refused to give us water. Well, LAFCO allowed them to put that 12-inch main water line in, and they're refusing to give us water. They say because that Lions Trucking isn't in conforming with their plan. Well, their plan, they're not even annexed out there yet. Their plan has nothing to do with me or Lions Trucking. We went to Fresno County. We went to hearings after their protest, which was 6 months late. We won the hearings we went to. We want to finish our project. We want water. They say they don't have water. Well, then how can we allow them to annex out to 180 with no infrastructure to give anybody, any businesses, water? And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment out there? Not seeing any. We're going to close the public comment portion. And Dan, you wanted to.
Yeah, I'm good with the 60 days. You're willing to put that in writing for the folks. It's up to 60. If you guys can come up with a deal in less than 30, and you can come back in 30. I would also like to ask that when you speak to the other two folks here, they have an alternate, to find out if the alternate's got a conflict so he can show up that day, if that's possible, so that we have four folks up here. Because does it work if two of us say yes and one says no, the project don't go through, right? It's got to be three? Is it three, or is it just majority of the here?
It's a majority of the quorum at seated.
Okay, because sometimes we make decisions on our city councils. If there's only three, all three have to say yes. If not, then...
Yeah, that would be based upon the internal documents of the city, or if there's a provision under Cortese Knox that would require a majority of the entire LAFCO, but I don't believe that is the case in this instance.
Okay.
But technically, can a county that's recused put in an alternate knowing that they're recused? Isn't it like
what the alternate's for.
Yeah.
But isn't it like packing the Supreme Court where you know your vote's not going to count, but yet you're going to put your vote in?
No, the alternate would be there in the event that there's a conflict. We don't know whether or not the alternate has a conflict himself. He could have the same conflict.
Right. Okay, so let's put closure to this gentleman.
I'll make the motion for the 60-day extension.
If I could just throw this in here. Mm-hmm. And it's not that often that this commission is exposed, I guess, to the underbelly of the land use consideration that precedes the annexation application. And this is a good example, and I think the commission has sensed the conflict of arguments that both sides are articulating, essentially different points that relate back to the significance of this annexation. If there is going to be a continuance, I would recommend that the continuance be based on some performance so that we're not back here. And I would also recommend it be 30 days. Let's 30 days gets it done. We can go to a date certain. That really puts the burden on the parties here to fish or cut bait.
Yep.
Because if we come back at 60, 30, 90 days, and if we have the same arguments, and the arguments are valid, every person who spoke today had very valid points, and I think we're speaking from the heart. So, but the real challenge is, and this is the commission's challenge, mm-hmm. that when the commission establishes a sphere of influence, it is required by statute to enact policies designed to promote the logical and orderly development of areas within that sphere. And we really don't have strong policies in that regard, so what's left is the practice. What does the commission do when something like this occurs? And I've been keeping my finger on the pulse of these projects as they've been working through the county, and definitely there's a concern on the part of the property owners who spoke that the rights they have in the county will diminish when it's annexed. As we heard from the city representatives, the uses, at least the trucking use, is not consistent with the plan. And that's a big deal because in order to make it consistent, one would have to change the plan, get a plan amendment approved by the council, and probably change the zoning. And that's another commitment of time towards a discretionary action. So I would recommend that this commission express its intent that the parties seriously engage in coming up with that middle ground and be back here in 30 days to do that.
But one question I have is I don't have a problem with seriously engaging. I have the issue if we're actually dictating terms as to how the negotiation goes.
What I'm hearing from David
is... It's got to play out on its own because we're not the referee or the mediator. We here are looking for LAFCO. We look for our best interest to make our job as seamless as possible. And if we're dictating terms to how the negotiation goes... Other than a time limit, right? So we can always put 60 days, but if they want to come earlier, they can always come earlier.
Well, we'd have to notice it to a date certain.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's important.
So here's my take. Basically, because we've heard both sides to it, and probably the chances of them resolving is not real high, so we don't need to drag it out too long. The message really is this, is that if it's going to come back to us, we're going to be a yes or we're going to be a no. We're not going to try to fix the broken wheel. That's not our job. And so there's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser. And if the two parties understand that sometimes it's better to try to work something out before you come back to us, that would probably be the best thing. All we're telling them is you got 30 days to try to figure out something, but if you can't, that's fine. Come back to us, and we will make a decision. So that's our message to you.
I would support 60 days because I think 30 is so quick it really doesn't give you much of a chance.
I'm going to make the motion for 30. I think at that point, if you wanted to go another 30, you could. I did hear some good things out of the city, and if they put that in paper, I think it will take care of it. I'm getting a little head nod from Mr. Peters in the back, or Peterson. So I'm good with the 30.
Okay, so you're making a motion for 30. Motion you're looking for a second.
I'll let you second it, but I'll vote on it. But if you want 30, you second the 30.
You're going to give it to me?
I'll give it to you.
Nice.
Okay.
Already got one said yes. So.
You're 33% of the decision.
Yeah, apparently so.
We can always extend it 30 if we had to.
All right, I'll second it for 30 because let's get the wheels turning and see where we go from there. All right. So there's motion and there's a second, and so now we're going to go ahead and take the vote. And so do we want to do that by
the roll call?
Let's do a roll call. Okay. Clerk?
Mr. Counsel, do I need to state for the record that Commissioner Magsig and Chair Brandow are not voting?
Yes, and you just did. I was going to ask you.
Perfect. Thank you. Commissioner Parra?
Yes.
Commissioner Santoyo?
Yes.
Commissioner Yep?
Yes.
Okay.
Less than 30 days.
Yep. Can we call back the other chairman?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Now that the rest of the job's easy now.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
That's what I was saying. If it was less than. Mm-hmm.
It was.
So,
yes, that's right. Whatever. Thank you, Steve.
Love you, Mario.
Exactly.
I saw him writing. He was cussing you out.
Oh my gosh. All right, are we on item 7 now, or are we waiting for Ken, or?
I would recommend that the commission go into closed session for the interviews and then conduct the rest of the hearing after the interviews are complete.
Okay. That sounds like a good idea.
Let's do it.
Let's do that. So we'll go into closed session. Are we going to use this room for closed session, or this room? Okay. Reconvene in the closed session conference room.